I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Yes.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
No turning back.
No turning back. No turning back. I have decided. I have decided
to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
No turning back.
No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back.
Though none go with me,
though none go with me,
still I will follow. Hallelujah. Still I will follow.
Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back.
Yes.
No turning. No turning back. No turning back. No turning.
Just one more time. No turning back.
No turning back. No turning back.
Father, we thank you so much for your presence that we feel in this place. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And Lord, as we bask in your presence, we thank you that you call us, you bid us, you commission us, and you equip us as your people to follow you. We thank you for the invitation to follow you. And we thank you, as we've been singing, about your grace and your goodness and your faithfulness to us. We earnestly pray that you would continue to protect us and to keep us as we seek to follow you. Each and every day, Lord, would you strengthen us to never turn back, but to keep following you. As we come now to hear your word, would you give me boldness now, as your servant, to preach your gospel? And for your people here today, would you speak to our hearts through your holy word? And when it's all said and done, we'll be ever so careful to give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What a beautiful day it is to be here and to worship God together. And good morning to you all. It's so good to see you today. And certainly we thank God for Bev and the worship team for leading us so beautifully in worship. Well, we are nearing now the end. This is the penultimate sermon in our sermon series, the Church Growth Toolkit. And I pray that you have been blessed by this series, and we've been challenged, and so we've been looking about various aspects of growth in our lives personally, but also collectively as a church. Well, today we're looking at this question from the text: how do we deal with roadblocks? How do we cope with roadblocks? Because we recognize in all of our lives there are moments when we experience roadblocks and we have to make certain detours. So how do we deal with that? And we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 16, and I'm going to read from verse 1 to 10. And it reads like this: Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. Believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him, and Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. So he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was not Jewish. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. And hear this wonderful verse. It says, after doing that, verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. They were strengthened in the faith and they grew daily in number. Verse 6 reads, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Wow. Let's read that again. I want you to take this in. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia. What were they doing? They were preaching the gospel. They were doing the work of an evangelist. But it says as they were trying to do that, the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. Would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. And during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God has called us to preach the gospel to them. Amen. I want to look at just a few verses from the Message paraphrase. The same passage, and from verse 6 it says, they went to Phrygia and then on through the region of Galatia. Their plan, Paul's plan, Timothy's plan, Silas, his plan, was to turn west to the province of Asia. But the Holy Spirit blocked that route. So they went to Mysia and they tried to go north to Bithynia. But here it is again. But the Spirit of Jesus would not let them go there either. Proceeding on through Mysia, they went down to the seaport of Troas. What do you do when it's seemingly the Holy Spirit is blocking your route? How to deal with roadblocks? Friends, all of us here today are the recipients in a variety of different ways. All of us here have received in more ways than one the blessings of open doors. I mean, if we were to just take a moment and just to recount over our lives and to look back at the various doors that God has opened for each and every one of us. Man, it would astound us if we took the time to write down every single door that God has opened for us. The greatest door of all has to be, for the Christian, the door opened of salvation. That Jesus Christ allowed us to come in to the greatest plan ever known to humanity. The plan of salvation for the world. We were once lost in our sins. We were once living a life according to a different plan. But through the Spirit of God, who drew us into his presence, we're here today thanking God that we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. But we also recognize that there are many other doors that God has opened for us in our lives. Maybe it was a door to a great job that you enjoyed. Maybe it was that door that you were praying earnestly for God to open for you. And maybe it was against all odds. Maybe the stacks were against you because you didn't fit all the necessary requirements to really walk through the door. But yet still God, through his grace and through his favor, he opened the door for you. And you knew without a shadow of a doubt that it could be no one else but God himself who paved the way and opened the door for you. There's a song that came out a few years ago that children used to enjoy singing in churches. And it simply says, when Jesus says yes, no one can say no. When Jesus says yes, no one can say no. And although there is truth in that from a theological perspective, there's also another side that I want to lift this morning. Because yes, we embrace and we thank God for the open doors in our lives, but we also recognize, all of us here today, that there has been times in our lives when God has blocked certain doors. When God has closed certain doors in our lives. And the challenge for us as humans is we thank God and we praise him for the open doors. Hallelujah. Yes, answered my prayer. Yes, I've been hoping and praying for this to come to pass, and God opened it for me. But what about those times in our lives, friends, when we are praying and we are seeking God for him to open a door of opportunity to make a way in our lives, but seemingly it seems like heaven is saying no? We love the hand of God that says yes. We love the hand of God, of his providence, that says yes, you can have. Yes, here it is. Yes, the door is open for you. But what about the same God who in other instances says no? How do we respond as God's children to the no's from the divine? How do we react when God blocks our route, when we have invested so much time and effort into arriving at a destination in our lives that we felt was right, but the hand of God has closed the door? And then in the world, how the world would see this is they would say, and sometimes we say it as well, they say things like, well, what's meant to be will be. How many of you heard that before, right? What's meant to be will be. So if something doesn't work out, people just say, well, what's meant to be will be, right? But the young people, they have a different twist on it. They'll say, it is what it is. It is what it is. It just wasn't meant to be. But I want to look at that saying from a different vantage point, because I don't believe that we should necessarily in every instance in our lives relegate the closed doors, relegate blocked routes just to the saying of it is what it is, or what's meant to be is meant to be. But sometimes we have to look at it from a different perspective and say, God, what are you saying about this? What are you showing me? What are you teaching me in this season when seemingly it seems like I'm just pressed up against the wall and I can't seem to figure it out? Instead of, it is what it is, but God, what are you saying about this? Can you give me some insight? Holy Spirit, can you show me? If this is a blocked route, show me why and show me where I should turn next. There is a great theologian and reformist by the name of John Calvin, a Frenchman, who is very known for his work and his stance against the Catholic Church. And John Calvin, certain views of John Calvin, certain extreme views of Calvinism, would lend to the idea that in every facet of our lives, everything has already been predetermined. That's what we call the extreme views of John Calvin, extremists. They've taken it to a different perspective, that every iota, every plan, every decision has already been mapped out for us. We have no say in the matter. Where we live, what we drive, how much money we earn, who we marry, what friends we have, everything has already been predetermined. It's been predestined. And seemingly we just receive what's already been planned and mapped out by the chief designer, who is God. Now, although I agree with certain elements of predestination, because the Bible lets us know that for whom he did foreknow, he also predestined, right? So we receive Jesus, yes, we just sang, I have decided to follow him, yes, because we have free will, but God, through his foreknowledge, he knew, and he looked at the end and knew who would decide to follow him. Does that make sense? So he looked at the end, and God already knows at the end who will decide to follow him or not. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't have free will to decide. We do. But through the foreknowledge of God, he knows, based upon our own free will, what we will decide. That is the foreknowledge of God. But the challenge for all of us is when we make decisions on a daily basis based upon our free will and our free choice, there are two different perspectives or ways in which our decisions can fall. Number one, it can fall into the side of the perfect will of God. Or secondly, it can fall to the side of his permissive will. Perfect plan of God is what God intended for us, his best for us, his perfect plan and will for our lives. So when we make decisions that coincide with his perfect will, he's pleased with us because we have obeyed him. But then the choices that we make in our lives that are not pleasing to him, and in some cases, not always that they're sinful decisions, but sometimes they may be decisions that are unaligned to the perfect will of God. And those fall into the category of his permissive will. That's what he permits us to choose. Does that make sense? He permits. He permits. But there also are instances in our lives, and right here in Acts chapter 16, when although we may have free will, there are instances when God will block certain decisions that we intend to make. We see it right here in this text because Paul the Apostle, ever since he was transformed on the Damascus Road, now he's been about the mission and the purpose of serving Jesus so much that he's been embarking on missionary journeys, sharing the good news of Jesus. And here in Acts chapter 16, after enlisting the help of Timothy and also Silas, they head off to start sharing the word of God. And first of all, they had a plan to go into Asia. They wanted to preach the gospel in the region of Asia, but the Holy Spirit deterred that route. And then they decided that we would like to go into the region of Bithynia. But then again, the Holy Spirit blocked the route. So why was there seemingly closed doors for Paul? They were doing the right thing, seemingly, by preaching the gospel. But why was the Holy Spirit saying no? Can I say to all of us here, friends, there are times in our lives when we may feel so convicted with every fiber in our being that we are doing the right thing. And we believe it with everything we have. And it feels right. This is right. But could it be that God is saying, check again. Check with me again. Are you sure that you are making the right decision? Are you sure that you are on the right path? Because we long not just to make decision based on his permissive will, but our prayer is to make decisions in line with his perfect will. And church, I believe for all of us collectively as a church, as we go forward together on this journey and we receive the vision and the plans and we pray into it to what God wants us to do, we have to always maintain to have that listening ear to understand when the Holy Spirit is saying yes, and at the same time understand when the Holy Spirit is saying no. We may have good ideas and good plans to go out and do great exploits in this town, but could it be that sometimes God may say, stop it? No. Don't do it. But God, this is right. It says in your word, go out, make disciples. Have you checked with me? Are you listening? Are you trusting and obeying? Are you leaning to your own understanding? Or are you following me? And I love the apostles here because on every instance on their missionary journey, they had their spiritual antennas lifted and raised. They were receptive to hear the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And they kept checking, what should we do? Where should we turn? East, west? What direction should we go? I believe that should be a challenge for all of us here today. Are we just living our lives each day, making decisions, decision after decision, plan after plan, without consulting with God? God, am I making the right decision? God, show me. It seems like it's right, but show me, please, Lord, show me through your Holy Spirit. Is this the right decision? So I want to leave with you 3 points here from the text. As we seek to understand, why does God say no at times? We understand the no's, the obvious no's, when it's no from a sinful perspective or no to temptation. We know that God says no for that. But what about those other times when it appears as if we're doing the right thing, but yet still heaven is saying, check me again. Well, the first thing we see, how do we deal with roadblocks and plans to our plans and our goals? Number one, we have to recognize the difference between good ideas and God's ideas. Because good intentions may not always coincide with God's will. Not every good idea is a God idea. So we have to be humble in our approach to check with God and the Holy Spirit. Is this good idea of you or is it of me? There's a difference between the good ideas and the God ideas. When I was in college, former teacher Bobby Patterson, Scotsman, he always used to say, failing to prepare is preparing to fail. Failing to prepare is preparing to fail. And that is true, absolutely. We should be well prepared. But we have to be careful as Christians that we don't become so well planned and well versed and so prepared that we shut out the direction and the vision that God is trying to speak in our lives. We've always got to make room for the Holy Spirit. That's why whenever I compose, whenever I'm leading worship here in the church, those of on the team that receive the emails, they'll know I would normally put on the order of service tentative. Tentative order of service. In other words, this is the plan, but it is subject to change. Because I may get up to preach and sometimes a song may come in my heart that I didn't think about when I was planning the service in the week. So there has to be room for the Holy Spirit to move. Because if we plan everything to the iota, and don't get me wrong, we should be well planned, but we've also got to make room to say, God, these are the plans. I've done the best that I could do, but now what are you saying? We can't get to the point where this is the plan, this is what we say, and that's it, and that's it, closed, that's it. Nothing else, we don't want to hear it. That's not how God works. It's subject to the Holy Spirit's leading and his guidance. So it's essential, first challenge, that we seek to discern God's will through the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can understand the doors that God is opening as well as those doors that he is closing. Number two, remember that God's has a greater plan than ours. We may think we have the greatest plans in the world, but please understand, God's plan is much greater than ours. The missionaries here in the text, they felt that going to Asia would be great, be a good idea. Going to Bithynia would be a good idea. For me, when I was younger, as you know, I felt a good idea for my life would be a football player. And I'd pray to God earnestly, God, please, I want to be a football player. That's my passion. That's all I want to do. I don't want to do anything else in my life. I want to be a footballer. But remember that God has a greater plan than ours. And in the moment when we're kind of wrestling with trying to figure out, God, I really want this for my life. And there are times when that happens and it's hard. It really is hard. When you want something so bad and you think that, this is right. I should have this. This is the best career path for me, or this is the best door of opportunity for me. And we think, God, this would be great. I know it would be great. But sometimes even in those moments, God is saying, would you trust me? I have a greater plan for you. I have a greater plan for you. And sometimes we have to be careful, friends, that we don't become so bent on the plan that we want, that we don't open our eyes and our ears to receive the plan that God wants. Challenge, when we are convinced about something, it's difficult to dissuade us against that plan. But through the Holy Spirit, if we trust his plan, we will see the greater purpose that will exceed our vision and our ideas. That's why I can look back now and say, Lord, thank you for not answering my prayer to be a footballer. Yeah, I'll be making hundreds and hundreds of thousands if he said yes now. But I tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, I'd rather be doing God's will than be doing something that he didn't intend for my life. And that's not to receive a clap, because for all of us here today, you know full well that when you embrace God's will, may not have been what you intended, but when you said yes to God's will, you can stand and testify even today and say, yes, I understand. thank God. Thank God. Because his plan is greater than mine. But then, the apostles, they were struggling. Go here, go there. Bithynia, not to go. Asia, or not to go. Holy Spirit blocks the route. But then the Holy Spirit began to now open their eyes to where they should go. Because God is not the God that delights in saying no, you know. He says no for our greater good. But he doesn't want us to remain in the no camp. He really wants us to understand the yes in what he's trying to say. And the yes for the apostles was, you need to go, not right now to Asia, not right now to Bithynia, but the yes from God is, you need to go to Macedonia. There's a plan in the region of Macedonia for you. I know, Paul, you think that it's a good idea to go to Bithynia and a good idea to go to the region of Asia, but right now, Paul, I need you to understand that the greater plan is Macedonia. Why Macedonia? Well, after Paul received the vision of a man saying, come over to Macedonia, come and help us. That was all the vision entailed. But when we read later into the text, we see exactly the plan of God for Paul and his companions. Because the first instance, as they set off to do his will and embrace his plan, they ran into a slave girl. A girl that was being used by her slave masters, who brought the slave masters much gain because she was able to use the wicked evil of soothsaying. And it brought the masters much gain. And this girl, she saw Paul and Silas. And she ran to them and she began to call out to them in a frantic posture. Paul and Silas recognized that there was something going on in this girl's life. Something going on inside. And now the greater plan that God had intended was now coming to pass. Because that same woman who was bound by evil spirits, that same woman who was being used by her slave masters to work divination, that same woman who would have never encountered Paul and Silas if they were bent on going to Bithynia and to Asia. But that same woman, when she met Paul and Silas and she cried out to them, we know who you are. You've been sent here by Jesus, the Messiah. And Paul rebuked the spirit that was within her, called it out, and she was set free. She was set free. But the point, friends, is if they were so bent on going to Asia and to Bithynia, would that girl have met Jesus? Would that girl now have a great testimony to say that she had been set free? She had been set free from the chains that were holding her back. Because God's greater plan has a great purpose. And even when we don't understand it, when we embrace his plan, it will all begin to make sense after a while. But third and finally, we have to resolve to embrace the triumphs and the challenges of God's will. Because although I told you at the start that God has a perfect will and a permissive will, but I also have to let you know very clearly that the perfect will of God is not always a comfortable place to be. I would love to tell you that the perfect plan of God is all sunny and rosy and easy like Sunday morning and no pain, no frustration, always going to be happy, always going to be rich. But that's not always the case. And we see that right here in Acts chapter 16. Because after Paul and Silas embraced the perfect will of God, they went into the region of Macedonia. They begin to do the work that God had called them to do. They were on the right track. But after they had brought deliverance to this slave girl, in the very next breath, they were being beaten by rods. And not only that, the authorities were so upset that they threw them in jail. Maybe there's someone here today saying, I'm in the will of God, but why am I feeling so frustrated? I've embraced the perfect hand of God, plan of God, but why is it that seemingly I'm going through test after test? I'm seeking his will. I'm obeying his voice. I'm obeying his word. But why is it that I'm going through so much pain in my life? Why is there so much tension in my family when I'm doing the right thing? Because we have to resolve, church, in closing, to not only embrace the triumphs of God's will, the growth and the great testimonies of God's will, but we also have to embrace the challenges of God's will. And the question for us today is, how will we respond in the challenging moments of God's will? How are we going to respond as a church when we move forward? We share the vision and people are excited. But how are we going to respond when we face obstacles? How are we going to respond when there are challenges before us? Because being in the perfect plan and the will of God will not always mean that there will be no pain and suffering and challenges. But even in the midst of pain and struggles, if we're in his perfect will, then his greater plan will make sense if we continue to trust him. Because everything that Paul and Silas went through in Acts chapter 16, being beaten, being thrown in jail, everything that they had to go through, there was also great triumph connected to their story. Because not only did that slave girl receive her deliverance, but the jailer, the jailer who was responsible of keeping watch for Paul and Silas, he received salvation. And he, along with his household, they were baptized. Because there will be joy, there will be triumph. Yes, there will be pain and there will be frustration. But as long as we stick in central to the plan of God and to his perfect will, then although there will be pain and frustration, I will rather be in his perfect will than live outside of his best for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are in control of all things, that you are sovereign over all. Father, we thank you that you open doors in our lives, some doors that no man or woman could ever open for us, and we know it's you, and we thank you for them. But we also recognize that there are times in our lives when you close doors, when you say no. Help us, Lord, to trust you in those seasons of no. Help us to trust you even in frustration, when we think we're doing the right thing, when we think that our plan is best. But help us to have that same receptive heart and spirit as Paul and Silas and Timothy, as they continue to listen to your voice and they continue to trust you even when it seemed like things were all over the place and chaos, and but yet still they trusted in you. And in like manner, we pray that we will continue to trust you, to trust your hand of providence, and trust your hand as you continue to guide us. Trust your hand, because you know what's best for us. So we boldly pray now that whatever you're saying yes to, let us receive it. And whatever you're saying no to, help us to understand and to embrace it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As the worship team come back, we thank God for his Spirit that draws all men onto him. We've been talking a lot today about following and following the will of God. And the greatest plan of all is the plan of salvation. And if you're here today and you feel the Holy Spirit leading you, no one here can lead you and make you become a Christian. But only the Holy Spirit at work can draw you to Christ. And if you sense the Holy Spirit leading you today, and you want to embrace God's love for you through Jesus Christ, the plan that he brought into fruition, that plan that was developed even before the world was formed, because the Lamb of God was slain even before the foundations of the world. And that plan that came into fruition, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, at the fullness of time, after 40 and two generations, he came into this world and he brought the light and hope into this world. And he wants to fill you with his Spirit so that you can walk in his way. And if you want to follow him today, you want to make a decision to follow him, you feel the Holy Spirit at work within you saying, come to Jesus, then I would love to invite you today to make that decision and to open your heart to him. Let's just pray now. I feel we should pray. And if you're here today and you feel that this prayer is for you, and at the end of this service, I would love you to come and talk with me. Father, through your Holy Spirit, as you work in our hearts even now, Father, you know us better than we know ourselves. And you know even the very hairs, the number of hairs on our head. Father, we pray now, if there's someone here today that wants to embrace you and senses the Holy Spirit leading and guiding even now, we pray that they would embrace your love. Thank you, Lord, that you came into this world and you died on the cross for the sins of humanity. Thank you, Lord, that you endured affliction and pain and suffering so that we could have a right to the tree of life. Thank you that you were buried, but thank you on the third day you rose with all power in your hands. We thank you for the power that is in the resurrection. And today, if you are calling someone to experience the resurrection of new life, to be born again, then today we pray that they may receive you with a gladness of heart and receive you into their soul. So I pray right now, if there's someone here today that wants to embrace Jesus Christ, I pray today that they would make that decision and that they would feel welcome into your presence and even welcome now into this church. We love you and bless you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.